many called, but a few chosen. We're going to give you the challenge tonight and see if you've got a pair of ears that can hear the gospel. We're going to see if you've got any eyes that you can recognize to see the truth of Matthew chapter or Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 7, verse 7. I said Matthew, I believe it's in Mark. Mark 7, 7. We're going to read it like this. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I'll repeat that now to lay the gestalt, to put this into your mind, that in vain, now there's people worshiping all over the world. Some people, they worship different religions. We got all kinds of religion. You just take your pick. We got all kinds of people that are preaching different walks. Even in Christianity, which is one of the biggest Babylon empires in the world. I'm telling you, truth is so scarce that there is a famine in the land. Not for bread and water, but for hearing the things that Yahweh has got to say to you. Remember I said you got to have a pair of circumcised ears. You got to have a pair of ears that Yahweh would open up. It is true in the book of Hosea, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And become, here's the rest of it. You usually hear that quoted, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And because that thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, Hosea 4 and 6. Now listen to this. Whatsoever thing I command you, that observe and do, and do not add thereof, and do not diminish it. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very important. I'm going to repeat that. It's very important for you to catch every word. If you go to a court, and it says, by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned, you get up in the court and you say one word to perjure yourself, you are in deep doo-doo. The same thing when you appear before Yahweh. You better be swift to hear and slow to speak. Now, let me show you something. It is written, this is in Matthew 4 and 4, it is written that men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you better catch it all, because this is the test. It's an ear test. Have you ever had a hearing test? Have you had an eye examination? Well, this is Yahweh's ear test and his eye examination. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. You may have a way that seems right, but the end thereof could be death. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation, 2 Peter 1:20. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. A lot of people have run out here, and before they heard the matter, they just ran to a church that's very convenient, or one that shouts and carries on bodily exercise, or they got a great, beautiful choir, or they got an organ, and they got a good church band, everything now. But you, it's like you go to a rock and roll nightclub. I mean, they're rocking and rolling. They're getting down. But when the truth is preached among these type of people, I can prove it by never leaving the Scriptures. Now, why? No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draweth him. John 6:44. Listen to this one. Here's the objective here tonight. As we start out of vain worship, a series that we could probably preach on for the rest of the week. But let me tell you something for sure. you better be sure. You better make your election and calling sure. If you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Did you know that many of them that followed the Messiah, man, when he got down to the nitty-gritty, when he got down to the hard sayings, they wanted to go over where the band played music all night long, and the preacher said a little dry dissertation. But this guy, when the preacher's burning you up, when he's a stripping you, when he's a cutting you, when he's a bringing blood, woe to the shepherds that failed to bring blood. What kind of blood? To bring the revelation of the genetic blood of the creator of this earth that walked here as a flesh man for 33 years and was cast out and rejected because they love vain worship and the praise of man. Knowing this first, that many are called and few are chosen. Matthew 22:14. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. Many are called and few are chosen. And no man can come to him except the Father which sent him draw him. And the Father that sent him was with him. The Father that sent him was in him. In him. Not of him, but in him. Not beside him, but in him. I've never seen such dorkheads.
I just don't understand that Trinity, glory to God. You know that the Father said to the Son, glory to God, go down yonder now and tell my people.
Well, they wanted to know where his Father was at. This is vain worship. They were worshiping down there, and they rejected the Father of light. They rejected the one that was programmed in the times of the past of Isaiah 9:6, unto us a son is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Yah, the Prince of Peace. Oh, they didn't want him when he come. You know why? He hung out up at the local bar. He ran around with people of ill repute. Mary Magdalene was nothing, but I bet she had a reputation in town as the biggest rip in town. Did you know that the Bible said that those who you think are good are bad, and those who you think are bad are good, and that the Bible says that he will take the bad, and they will possess heaven, and you yourselves who think that you're righteous because you went to Sunday school and because you never did steal anything. I'd rather be a thief and get salvation and repent than to never steal a thing in the world and think, well, I'm such a good person, glory to God. I don't know what it is to drink and carouse around and run after the ill repute. Well, the Messiah did. He come to save sinners, having eyes to see and ears to hear. You hear not and you see not, and you do not remember. Mark 8:18. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, at least any time that they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I would heal them. Matthew 13:15. There is such a sickness as being politically correct, belonging to the biggest church in town. That don't make you a fit candidate for heaven. You know what makes a fit candidate? If you've got enough backbone to stand the truth of Yahweh. Because you better be rigid. You better be ready to stand. And the Bible said it'd be better for you not to put your hands to this plow and put your hands up there and then begin to look back and say, well, they don't have the right kind of band for me. I wish they'd go over here where they're getting down. Oh, I just love the choir over there and that little old ragtag outfit up there. So they're so pitiful. Yeah, we're the offscourge of the world. We don't have no big church. We don't have no big congregation. If that's what you're looking for a way that seems right, and you're looking to worship in vain. Yahweh don't look at you because you can sing like a canary or play well on an instrument. You think that's going to impress him? You know the only thing that he's chosen to impress him is worship in truth. St. John chapter 4, verse 24. Listen to me now. For the heart of this people, these were the goody two-shoes. This wasn't Mary Magdalene. You know what happened to Mary Magdalene? She was so mean, she had seven devils. And I guarantee you every one of them was going in a different direction. I believe she was wild as a West Texas wind. I believe she was probably horny as a toad frog in Texas. But I believe, bless God, when Yahweh cast them lusting demons out of her, seven of them came out. I believe she was as pure could be. Heart of this people, we have never done no wrong. Ain't never grew up nothing fish or beauty. I wouldn't know what the taste of alcohol is. Glory to God. Maybe you ought to get drunk and get over your self-righteousness and get on your knees and repent of it and turn your face to Yahweh. You say, well, the mama said no drunkard's going to enter in. Well, no, he entered in. He wasn't talking about the physical drunk or the outward man. He was talking about the spiritual drunkenness of this false doctrine and this false worship. In vain they worship me. This people's hearts wax gross. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes are closed. At least they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and that they should be converted, and I would heal them. Acts 28:27. But he says unto Ezekiel, chapter 12, verse 2, Son of man, Ezekiel, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house. Oh, but I bet you, glory to God, there was a town worshiping in vain. They have eyes to see. They see not. They have ears to hear, and they hear not. They are a rebellious house. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 2, and in all of the epistles that Peter preached. I've had people say, I just don't understand you, Pastor Bunny. Oh, we're going. You go so fast, and I can't keep up. I can't even get your telephone number. It's because you ain't got no ears. It's probably because you don't need my telephone number. It's probably because you know that if you called me up, I was going to tell you the rest of the story. And if you can't stand what I preach on the radio, you most certainly can't stand what I preach to our sheep in private. You say, oh, well, we don't believe that now, Pastor. Well, the Messiah did. He said one thing to the crowd that had no ears and no eyes, and then he took his disciples aside personally and then explained to them what he was talking about. And all things in the epistles of Peter or Paul, in which some things are hard to understand, which they of the unlearned and unstable wrestle as they do the other scriptures unto their own death and destruction. 2 Peter 3:16. You want to quote John 3:16? Why don't you get over to 2 Peter 3:16? It might wake you up. I've threatened to preach with a two before anyway. Sometime I think it takes a two before to crack the skull of these hard-headed Israelites who are so spoiled and rebellious. They love a form and a fashion. They love a big crowd. Man, you wouldn't love the crowd I preach to. Because I don't have a crowd. It's just a few of us. Glory to God. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see and hearing they hear not. neither do they understand Matthew 13:13, for your information. Well, you want to check that out. You can remember that, can't you? 13:13 Matthew. I speak to them in parables. He didn't want them to hear. You know why? Because if the gospel's hid, it's hid to them that's lost, and those of Yahweh will hear his word, and they will follow. They'll drop everything they had. How? Because they love him. Hosea chapter 8, verse 12. I have written great things in my law, but they counted them as a strange thing. Oh, it just don't fit in with the world. You know the world can't be wrong. Glory to God. We got these jake-legged, hump-backed, crooked-nosed heathen. They go to these seminaries and they became trained preachers to impress you upon the stage as they rock and roll from one side to the other, and the drum beat and the organs is in step and in tune, and boy, the buddy in the church would jump up in unison and holler, "Praise the Lord!" And some poor old prophet come in there and preach against the vain worship and the tradition and the things that they have learned. Whatsoever I command you, observe it and do it, and do not add to it, or do not diminish or take from. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. I speak to them in parables. Matthew 13:13. How been in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. As it says in Mark 7:7, I have written unto them out of my law, and they say it's a strange thing. Well, of course, you know why?
Well, we're not under that, but no, glory to God, show that.
We're under the grace plan. What kind of grace? If you just rub that G off there, you might get it right. Grace to whom? The Bible said they that despise Moses' law died without mercy. And consider yourself, lest you let this escape. This is a straight and narrow way, and if you there be that find it, and if the gospel's hid, it's hid to them that's lost. And you've got to have your understanding open in Luke 24:45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And if Yahweh don't give you insight and spiritual direction through the prophet, you're a lost ball in the high weeds. Luke 24:45, one of my favorite scriptures. I marked that a long time ago. I knew then that I had to have my understanding opened. Everywhere I go, it's just the same old rat race.
That same stanza at 3 out of the old hymn mill.
And he'd sing that. Dry as last year's bird's nest. Some old preacher would get up and hawk and spit all over the floor, you know, a shouting and a running and bodily exercising, and you didn't know a bit more what he was talking about, but you for sure knew that he must be happy about something or sad. He's either crying or laughing, slinging stod or spit, waving his hanky. And his pinky. At least when I went to church back in the 40s and the 50s, bless God, they were men. Today, they ain't nothing but these little weak-wristed, pink-suited, jazzed-up doughbellies. A pitiable shame fly across the United States for I've got a revival. And I've got to fly into Houston tonight for a big revival. We're starting a 13-week revival. Bless God. And the Bible says, listen to this, if our gospel be hid, they can fly from here to yonder. They can compass land and sea. But if receive Yahweh's word. It's a strange thing to their ears. Their ears are uncircumcised. Their eyes are blinded and plucked out. But if our gospel's hid, it's hid to them, it's lost. In whom the god of this world, Satan, has offered in and took them under captive at his own will, the minds of whom which believe not least the light of Yahweh's gospel, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. The god of this world hid. The gospel be hid, it's hid to them that's lost. Because they love Satan, they love the tradition, they love the things that seem right, they love the big crowds, they love the big bands. Oh my, they just shout and sing down there. I just love it. I just worship. Yeah, you do. No truth. No lie about that. That's true. But as it says in Mark 7:7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines. Yeah, they teach a seem-right way. They make it very easy for you to sit in the seat and do nothing but have your ears tickle and entertain, and you go away and say, oh, man, I shouted my shoe heels off. And that's what they were doing around the golden calf when they thought that Yahweh's law was a strange thing until they had never heard of such a thing. To love Yahweh with all their heart, but they could love Baal, though. You know what Baal was doing? He's rocking and rolling. Yeah, that calf they were worshiping was the heavens, given up to worship the host of heaven, the age of Taurus, the bull. And there was a lot of bull going on back there. And the crowd was getting pretty deep by the time Moses brought the law down there. And bless God, I guarantee you one thing. When he drawed the line in the sand, he said, everybody over on this side and everybody on that side, and it divided the camp, and the ones who was on the wrong side died without mercy. And consider yourself. Oh, my. But the minds of those people were blinded until this day. It remains at the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in the Messiah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. And the dragon, I talked on him last week, the dragon, he deceived the whole world. The dragon, he deceived the whole world. Revelations 12 and 9. The dragon. Oh, the dragon. It's not snorting fire. You don't see him with a pitchfork as they have depicted him in the fiery furnace of hell with a big hot furnace with a big pitchfork waiting to spear you. And he's got you with vain worship. You're already speared. You're already lost. You're already blind. Yeah, but I shout. I found something down there, Pastor Buddy. Well, yeah. Well, sure you do. The devil will send you a strong, strong delusion. No, I ain't what it said. The devil's wanting you to, the devil's wanting you to have it easy on Zion Street. Yahweh shall send you a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned who receive not the truth and worship in the divine covenant. You'd look silly out here on a circle with 12 stones. With about 30 or 40 people gathered around it, you'd look silly and you'd probably feel silly. You know why? Because the old devil that deceives you got you on the altars of Baal. And everybody's gathered around you praying for you to get saved. Well, that's what they were doing when Elijah went up on Mount Carmel and he had a good old Holy Ghost around these Baal altars. Oh, yeah, it was a beautiful sight. Yeah, you come in your Easter bonnet. You came as the world came. You came with a popular religion. It seemed right. It's a seemed right in vain. But I can see that old bearded, grizzled prophet. Got down on his knees and dug in the mud. I've been raining for a week or two. I don't know. No, it couldn't have been raining because that's what he come up for, to bring it down. But he had plenty of water. You can believe that. He poured 12 barrels. Wonder where he got that water. Poured it in he dug a trench. Who helped him? Well, they laughed at him. They mocked him. He was trying to set up the true religion and the false religion that had been set up to replace the truth with a seem right in vain worship when he dug the old trench, placed the 12 stones, put the 4 in the center, represent the great name of the king. He didn't want to leave him out. He's the rock. This is the rock that they forsook. They loved the praises of man. Oh, I mean, the Baal prophets had it all figured out. They stood at the door. After they got off the platform doing their high style and profile, shaking their little pinky, wearing their little pink bow ties. I can just see them up there now. Had their chariots parked outside. They rode in style. Oh, Elijah probably rode an old mule up there if he rode anything. I wonder how long it took him to find the 12 stones that had been dug up and thrown over to the side. Somehow he knew where they were at. The Bible said he repaired them and he placed the 12 stones round about. You know, if I was to come in your church and tell you how to get on an altar and build you one, you'd all faint and go to hell. Which is where you're going anyway. You might as well faint and get over it. Because if you won't worship Yahweh in the way he depicted you with his word, that he said, do not diminish it from it, and therefore I'm going to speak the parables to these people that can't hear and understand in Matthew 13:13. You better believe one thing, ladies and gentlemen. I know Elijah got the altar dug and placed around about 12 stones. I bet there was people that had never seen one of them things. It was Yahweh's chosen way of worship, but they rejected that worship, and they hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that wouldn't hold any water. Bless God, the one he had, it held it. 12 barrels. Whew. I can just see the shimmering. I can see the people saying, what's that idiot down there doing? Look at that old grizzled thing. You know, he just got out of a 40-day walk. I bet he didn't smell too good. He probably didn't have on that high Stetson perfume. I bet his nails hadn't been done in probably 3 or 4 years. Him out there grubbing in the wilderness. The locusts is in wild honey. While uptown they were eating that pork and singing them songs and shouting in the aisles and styling and profiling. And then I beheld the work of man. He can't find out what Yahweh has hid from him. Man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun that Yahweh has hid from him, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think that he know, yet shall he not be able to find it? Yahweh's hid this from you, and it's the revelation that I'm a preaching now that will not be accepted. You will reject it. You'll never stand on an altar of 12 stones with a group of people that are poor and despised and hated. Oh, I can just see the First Baptist Church coming up there, our little old assembly in the wilderness, and say, what you guys doing there? I said, we'll build my altar. What? What kind of altar? Where's your platform at? I said, we don't believe in platforms. What are you doing putting them stones in the ground? What's that funny writing? Some of the brothers that know how to build an altar, and some of the sisters and the brothers have been on. You, I know you, I can see you laughing right now because you say, that's it, Pastor Buddy. We had an altar over in Andrews, North Carolina, and a water man came by, or the electric reader, and he went in the back door and had to go through, and he saw the altar out there in a circle, and he fled. He thought it was some gypsy altar. Did you know that the Bible says that Satan will change the truth into a lie? In the minds of those that Satan has blinded their eyes, in Corinthians 4 and 4, the God of this world, that they believe not. But if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that's lost, and Yahweh shall send them a strong delusion to believe that lie. Get up on your platform. Go to your big cathedrals. Your stained glass windows. Drive in your Cadillacs and your Rolls Royces and go to the airport and get your Learjet out for another big old meeting, because the world is full of deceit, because the Satan has blinded the people's eyes and strayed us away. And narrows the gate, and only a few there be that find it. You got to have your understanding open according to Luke 24:45, and if you've been blessed to have it understood and open up and you understand, you're going to get on the altar that old Elijah built. These brothers that build altars today, these altars in several states that I could tell you about, you don't know nothing about it, but I do, because you're not concerned. You're going to get up Sunday morning, like yesterday, you know, and you went down to the church, and you getting ready for Christmas, glory to God. Yeah, man, you probably already doing your shopping, ain't you? You probably done got your Christmas tree ornaments sitting somewhere in a box. Just like old Rachel hid the images. See, she was into that stuff. She hid the images because when she left home, she had to take them. They was precious relics. She just couldn't leave those beautiful things. And here was a man of her dreams. He was out there building him a circle altar and putting 12 stones on it. And she said, well, that's a funny way of worshiping there. Jacob, you know I love you, but I can't give up these beautiful little ornaments I've got. We'll put us up a Christmas tree for Christmas, and we'll have it and do it for the children. Glory to God. And guarantee when Yahweh come in there and hunt for those images. Yeah, she even lied. She put them up under her dress and said she was on her period when he got to hunting for him. Yeah, Daddy, he couldn't give them up. Old Laban, he came into the camp and he said, wait a minute. Somebody has ripped me off. They took all my Christmas tree ornaments with them. Glory to God. And you know that I can't worship without them. Well, Rachel scared her to death, and she ran over in the box where she had her precious relics. See, these was the family heirlooms. And she had took them with her. Well, she gathered them up big pile. She throwed her skirt out over them, and she sat down, and her father walked in. She said, Dad, I've got PMS today. I just can't get up and greet you. He said, well, I'm looking in here, probably it's old Jacob. He stole something from me. Glory to God, I shouldn't have let him win. I should have worked him another 14 years. But Dad, what's missing? My images.
Of Christmas tree bulbs.
Probably. I don't know what in the heck it was, but it was an image. It was something that they worshipped, and it was a relic. They couldn't turn loose of it, and she was so steeped in the tradition of her father, who was in paganism, just like the Christians are today. Man, they'll drag them little Easter bunnies in Easter, and these little fertility gods. He can't give them up, these little relics, these little worship items. You can't give it up because you ain't man enough to run your home. David said, as for me and my house, you know what the Bible said that they done in the book of Acts? They brought together all their curious items, their books, their traditional things, their Christmas carols. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. But if you was to look at old Claus, he got his paws in on your tradition, and you can't drop it. It just seems so natural, and it's a time of love and peace, joy to the world. And they give gifts to one another. Isaiah, he talked about it we're going to talk about that tomorrow night. We're going to get into Jeremiah and the traditions and the same right ways and this pagan worship. In vain they worship me. Mark 7:7. I'll not have you ignorant, brethren. The devil's on his job. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk. You can't get meat if you ain't got the teeth to eat it. Them that's on milk is unskillful. You sitting over there in those traditional bell boxes, like the children of Israel were, they had left the meat. They had left the old grizzled prophet Elijah, who was Yahweh's man on the scene, who had to hide in the wilderness and eat locusts and wild honey for his bread. Because he couldn't get out and plow his crops in peace because it was trying to hunt him down. The whole army. He was one of those renegades. Oh, Ahab and Jez. Oh, Jezebel. We got more Jezebels in church today. And Ahabs. You can see Jezebel and Ahab are coming. Oh, they come with their Bible under their arm, all clutched it up, and you know, they didn't, they haven't really opened it up, they just come for show. Maybe they'll get their, I've seen, they get their marker out. You can mark 1,000 scriptures, but if you don't know what it means, if the gospel's hit to you, you can mark them till you turn blue in the face, or you can blue every scripture in the Bible, but if you don't have understanding, according to Luke 24:45, you got to have that understanding open up, or you're just carrying something that's full of marks. And it's really the mark of tradition. In vain you worship me, teaching for commandments of men. Oh, Elijah got around that altar. Glory to God. Nobody dared to come down there. They was having meeting, ladies. Can you see how embarrassing it was for them Israelites to sort of twist their heads around and look at that old man down there? Well, they hadn't seen him in several years. He was a stranger to most of them. And who's that old dirty-looking, rumpled-up guy down there? Well, how dare him? What's he doing down there? I don't know. He's got a mattock, and he's a-digging. Well, he's carrying them old stones. He's putting them in a circle. What's he up to? Well, he's probably in witchcraft. Yeah, that's what it is. It's witchcraft. Glory to God. Yep. there and kill that old rascal. He's disturbing the service. Man, we's having a time. They come up here, and them prophets up there, I've never seen them act like that. Well, they're jumping up and down and carrying on like I ain't never seen them before. Are they trying to impress him? No, honey, they were trying to depress him. But he had something under the collarbone. He had the command of Yahweh. He had the way that was right. They were in the way that seems right. And they were worshiping and in vain. And when Elijah got the altar built, a fire came down. Glory to God. And the people jumped up out of the chairs. We talk about a Holy Ghost revival. They said, Yahweh is the king. Now ran over to the circle. I said, what y'all doing over here? Well, man, we ain't never seen such miracle working power in our life. We feel something up here on top of Mount Carmel. It's something that the bell box preachers didn't have. When he said, well, I don't see you jumping for joy. They were falling on their face. They were worshiping on that altar. They had ran. They knew. They heard their fathers talk about the old circle altar with 12 stones. And probably it reminded them, and here come the man of God. You'll know when somebody's among you when he's got the power. And the signs are following him. And it won't be a seem right way. It'll be the way that is right, not the way that seems right. 1 Kings chapter 18. Up on Mount Carmel, he took on the whole religious system of Israel, that nation that had perverted itself and went astray and went a whoring after other gods. And this whole nation here is whoring on a 501(c) agenda. And they've turned their backs on Yahweh's circle altar. Here comes old grizzled Pastor Buddy putting a wet blanket on the bell box. Yeah. Oh, everything's going good when he got here. He ain't got nothing good to say to us. He's gonna get in that old Bible and bring out things. He carries one of the most strange Bibles anyway. Had a man call me one night. I was preaching on, went into the church and started witnessing like I'm preaching tonight. He said, what are you preaching out of? We don't believe nothing here but the good old King James. Well, I didn't even carry a Bible in. I picked it up and I said, whose Bible is this? I turned around and he had his name in, you know, put in front of it. I called out and I said, well, it belongs to somebody here, I guess. I said, let me see, this is the name. I called out and he said, that's my Bible. I said, I'm preaching out of your Bible then. And I didn't smoke at that time, but if I could have lit a cigarette off his face. This gospel will stop every mouth. If you can't believe what's wrote in it, why don't you just throw it down and admit you're worshiping in vain? You're just in it for a show. You're just in it to style and profile. You just want your ears tickled. You want to sing right way. Malachi 3:6. I am Yahweh and I don't change till heaven and earth pass one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from this law that seems strange to your ears. You say you love me, but you will not keep my commandments. You are a marvel. Hebrews 13:8-9. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines. And you know, it don't seem so strange when nobody's ever come in and called you in the way you worship. You wouldn't want me to come to the First Baptist, or the Second Baptist, or the Third Baptist, or the Fourth, or the Fifth. You wouldn't want me to come to the Mormon Church. I'd tear you up. You don't even believe what your prophet that you claim to be was a prophet. I got more respect for your prophet that started your church and you lukewarm, Laodicean, church-age Mormons that's turned into morons. And you sell a day Adventist church. calendar. Is that calendar in the Bible? Well, it's been around a long time. Who made it? Well, the Catholic Church. Oh, the Catholic Church. Don't you all teach a seventh day? Don't you teach that the Catholic Church is the whore church? Well, yeah. Yeah, we do. If you don't think don't you think for a minute I don't know what the Seventh-day Adventists preach. Yeah, I know you hate the Catholic whore. Yeah, you burn her flesh with fire and you hate her. But you use the day that you said that they had changed from Saturday to Sunday. And somehow you got it in your foolish mind that they'd done that. Because they picked out Sunday, you grab Saturday, because on the calendar that they invented, they call Saturday the seventh day. You didn't have enough sense to know it wasn't the calendar to start with. There is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there any. And you Sabbath, or you Jehovah Witness, I've got no word to say for you while I'm on your trip. You lying dogs. You know you can't read Jehovah. It's not in the original scriptures, and you know that. And yet, you went out and climbed up some other way, just like the Baal prophets of old. You're shouting on your altars, his name is Jehovah, and you know it's a lie. If you can prove its name is Jehovah in the original scriptures, I'll kiss your rear end up on top of Mount Carmel. My heaven, it's time to tell the truth on the world. His name is not Jehovah. It never was Jehovah. Even the Bible would tell you it's not Jehovah. Well, yeah, I know. His name is Lord. Oh, really? Well, it's many of them. Which one?
Well, say you're no troublemaker.
Well, that's what Elijah was. And there was blood flowing down in the Kidron River. The brook that ran by that mountain up there. Wonder where that water came from all of a sudden. Been a dry land. There was more water than they could handle. 12 barrels around the altar, and Yahweh licked that up just like he was a thirsty one. He hadn't drunk probably 3.5 years with Elijah. Israel 7 of their children eating one another. Drinking out of mud holes and cow tracks. I don't know. But I mean, it was a dry land. And the Bible says it's not for bread and water. It's for hearing the word of Yahweh. There's a way that seemeth right. And I got to close right here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity. That's what it was up on Mount Carmel. It was a mystery of iniquity. They had built platforms and bell boxes and beautiful church and ornaments. They met in the groves. Here come this old man out of the wilderness. He had just been baptized with fire. Man, whatever the Holy Ghost struck him with up on that mountain was he got energized. He marched straight up to that mountain and he restored the altar of Yahweh in 12 stones in a circle and he worshiped on it. And I dare you to go to your church next Sunday and tell the pastor you hear Pastor Buddy saying that there was no such thing as a bell box altar in truth. It was all a lie, it seemed right, and in vain you worship him. But they worshipped on old-fashioned circle altars with 12 stones right out there in the wilderness where the Messiah himself went. Mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth until he be taken out of the way. You know what's going to happen? Bind him. Lord! Lord! Oh, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fail for thy sake. Isaiah 54:15. If you got the truth, you're gonna pass the test. And I give you the test and challenge tonight. What about you? Where do you stand? Are you in vain worship? you got the truth. You say, well, Pastor Benny, we just don't do it like that no more. I'm sorry. I'm the same. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or not one tittle, until all be fulfilled. Matthew 5:18. I am Yahweh and I change not. Malachi 3:6. Same yesterday, today, forever, and be not carried away with all these billboards and 501c wildfires. Because Elijah's going to come and put you out, put your fire out with a wet blanket. He's going to preach you the gospel and you're going to grasp and gasp and run and flee. But you ain't going to have nowhere to hide. Hebrews 13:8-9. I got to close, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary. 1-877-289-7439. Call him between the business hours of 9 to 5. Brother Paul for STEM Tech. 1-800-253-2748. We love you a whole bunch tonight. Yahweh is our King. We're going to worship Him. And we're going to call upon Him. And we're going to praise Him all the day long. We're on the battlefield for Yahweh. Man, I love that. Miss Linda, you sent me a phone a long time ago, and I sort of filed it away here. But, man, I dug it out today. And I said, man, I'm on the battlefield. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah, and to stand. And if you're still drinking from the water, you got the fountain. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live if you got enough nerve. Yeah, here it comes. Drinking from the fountain. That's what Elijah drunk from up there in a dry and a thirsty land. He had the Holy Ghost in the school of it, and he was running all over him. Oh, now, you can call me area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. I'm live here on a Monday night, and the date is November the 16th, believe it or not. You can write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's 2284. Pastor Buddy, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip, 37824. You better get into the well, ladies and gentlemen. It runs deep. You ain't got nothing to draw with. You better get the truth, because tradition and a seam right way won't bring up the water. And certainly won't bring down the Holy Ghost. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWRB